Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 93 of Her, the podcast all about women, where we share the naked truth about her mind, her body, and her life. And now we're going to be learning about her rainforest. And before we delve into this fabulous episode, I just want to make sure you know it's made possible by our friends at Smarty Pants Women's Complete Vitamins. They're delicious once-a-day gummies that contain the complete vitamin, mineral, folate, and omega mix, customized for women. Trust me, you won't forget to take them because they taste so great. To learn more, go to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And just a quick reminder to hop on over to iTunes afterwards and rate and review us, because I read these things and I love to hear from you. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about her.
So I'm holding this totally cool book. It's called Fully Alive, Using the Lessons of the Amazon to Live Your Mission in Business and Life. Oh my gosh, this is just ridiculously cool. Now, it helps that I'm also from the University of California at Berkeley, and Tyler Gages, who is the author, his grandfather was one of the, I guess, one of the first chancellor at UC Berkeley, Clark Kerr. And we are kind of, well, what can I say, psychically intertwined here. The book is all about his journey. He's the co-founder and CEO of Runa, a social enterprise that makes energy beverages with, okay, now you say it, Guayusa. Did I say that right? Guayusa. Yeah, man. Guayusa, that's a rare Amazonian tea, and it's just going to transform you. He has been a name. He's been named by Forbes as 30 under 30 entrepreneur and the citizen leader of the year by the Specialty Food Association. He's also the founder of Plant Med, an organization dedicated to building the world's first centers for the practice, research, and preservation of Amazonian plant medicine. Thank God. All right. And this is so cool. So, Tyler, welcome to the Her podcast. This is just going to be so cool having you on board.
I'm very excited. Thanks so much for the invitation to join.
All right. Now, what's really cool out there for the Her podcast listeners is that y'all better understand what's going on in the rainforest, how you can apply all of this to your life as well as, you know, business, which is kind of interesting, an interesting, you know, duality. So what really got you going with all this? You know, when I was reading your book, I saw here that you had a little issue there that was always a piece of the beginning of your story. And I'll read this. It said, but even with the incredible good fortune of being surrounded by this loving family and enjoying plenty of material comforts, I always suffered from some level of persistent anxiety. What was that about? And how did that begin your journey?
Yeah, you know, like a lot of journeys don't often start in a very linear, direct direction. And mine certainly didn't. My journey down to the Amazon started from feeling lost and feeling like there was some other layers to myself and my path that I hadn't discovered yet. So I grew up in the Bay Area, and I was very lucky to get recruited to play soccer in college, which had always been my life mission up to that point, at age 18, and found that even with that seeming outward success, there was this increasing anxiety and depression and feeling like I wasn't feeling connected to a deeper sense of my heart. And like there was more under the surface that I knew was there, but I didn't know was there, if that can make sense. So through a string of coincidences, I'm sure it makes sense to you. Through a string of coincidences and reaching out to some people, I ended up down in the Amazon rainforest, where I spent the better part of 2 years with the Shipibo tribe. The Shipibo are an incredible indigenous group in the Ucayali River region of Amazonian Peru. And when I was there, I found an incredible world of sophisticated healing traditions and ways relating to the rainforest. And in the Shipibo world, they are basically part of the natural environment. Their identity comes from nature. Their supermarket and pharmacy is the natural world. And though some of those more progressive ideals are present in the Bay Area and California, the level of refinement and potency in these traditions totally changed me. And not only the healing I found for the anxiety and depression, but also a much richer sense of what it can mean to be alive in the world and to share those gifts. And ultimately, that was the original seed that launched me forward into what ended up being also a crazy entrepreneurial path, starting Runa.
Well, you know, what is Runa? Tell us about Runa.
So Runa is a social enterprise. We're a mission-driven organization dedicated to supporting the indigenous communities in the Amazon, which we do through sourcing unique Amazonian ingredients. So as I sort of found my way through college and living with these indigenous people, ultimately my passion became how to connect the world of the Amazon with our world up north and recognize that these people in the Amazon really struggle to toggle between their traditional livelihoods and also wanting to be a part of a global economy. And not having sources of income leads them to deforestation, having to move and sell their farms, to work in oil fields. And I saw that this really critical piece of sustainable income is the difference between them sharing their traditions and being empowered participants of a global economy, or being the really unfortunate discriminated against recipients of some of the shadow of modernity. So what we did with Runa is we became passionate about this one specific Amazonian leaf called guayusa, which you very properly pronounced earlier. And guayusa is a leaf that's brewed like tea, but it's not related to tea. So green tea, black tea all come from the same plant. And guayusa is a native to this one little part of the Amazon they call the eyelash of the jungle, right where the Andes meet the Amazon rainforest. And it's really been the lifeblood of the indigenous communities in this area for thousands of years. They drink guayusa as a natural energy source. So functionally, it's very rich in caffeine, polyphenols, chlorogenic acids. And I was blown away by it as someone who's pretty caffeine sensitive. Coffee makes me a little bit batty if I drink too much of it. But with guayusa, I drank it and felt this incredible focus, clarity, almost like it was holding me up from behind as opposed to punching me in the face, which coffee or an energy drink sometimes can. So at Runa, my friend Dan and I wrote a business plan our last semester in college with the vision of bringing the guayusa leaves to market. And basically, we spent the last 8 years living in Ecuador and building all these bridges to a business now that supports 3,000 indigenous farming families in Ecuador who all sustainably grow guayusa in the rainforest. And we sell our products through 15,000 stores nationwide in the U.S., trying to change the game of both iced tea and energy drinks.
Wow. And so you've got, now, where can you find the guayusa? What are some of the outlets, like Whole Foods or what?
Yeah, so yeah, our brand, Runa, Whole Foods, Safeway, Stop and Shop, we sell a lot, ironically, on Amazon.com. All of our products are available there.
You know, somehow I'm sorry, but that's just like kind of a weird irony, right? You know, Amazonian weird. And Amazon, but, you know, kind of interesting. So you've got the tea. Do you have like other products associated with the tea, or is it primarily just the box tea?
No, so our biggest product line is organic iced teas. So we do glass bottles brewed iced teas. One of the things that we're proud of is our most popular products are unsweetened. Guayusa as a leaf has a naturally sweet and very smooth flavor. It doesn't have tannins like you find in other kinds of teas. So we can brew really nice, super drinkable unsweetened teas. We have an organic unsweetened guava, an unsweetened mint honeysuckle, which we actually created with the actress Olivia Wilde, who's one of our investors. And that's actually the biggest part of our business. And in addition, we have a line of what we call clean energy drinks. So by that, what we've done is we've brewed the guayusa leaves and put them in carbonated cans, basically to offer an energy solution for people that comes from a leaf and not a lab. So with all the very toxic energy drinks out there, people still need energy. And so what we can do is provide a very functional, very effective energy source that's 100% organic, and all the products are sourced from farmers in the Amazon.
I see. And does that feed back to PlantMed? In other words, are you investing in PlantMed from the proceeds of what you're doing with Runa?
We have in part as a stimulus to support and launch that initiative. But ultimately, we've seen that addressing the same fundamental question of where Runa comes from, which is how do we create new value for the rainforest? So that key question is what we asked ourselves, saying we want to make economics our fighting ground as our social change solution. So it's one thing that I think morally lots of us feel compelled to support Native people, and we understand the carbon statistics of deforestation. What we're trying to do is to actually make it more profitable for farmers to sustainably manage land and have better income sources than the negative alternative. When we asked that question, we said that probably the biggest value in the most concrete terms the Amazon can offer to the world is medicine and the need state that we all have. And even in my life, as I mentioned, struggling with anxiety, depression, they have incredibly sophisticated healing traditions that have not been researched and not understood in a Western context. So that vision led us to start this initiative supporting Amazonian healing centers in Ecuador and Peru. We have one that we've supported called Naku, which is in Ecuador. It's a vision of the Zapara people, who is a tribe of only about 500 people still left, who had a vision to use their plant medicines to treat people with anxiety, depression, trauma, and insomnia. I actually just had a group of patients get back from deep in the Zapara territory at the Naku clinic just a couple days ago, and really believing that as Runa, we could help stimulate the creation of this new organization to further create new solutions to these bigger questions that we're asking.
Interesting. So you have people coming from maybe all over the world to these centers to experience a healing tradition?
We do, and we're still in the very early stages. So with this, we're taking on what will be decades and decades of work to ultimately put Amazonian medicine on the map. That's really the big vision, is to connect to this source of healing wisdom and ultimately the largest biopharmacy of plant compounds that exist on the earth with the interface of modern medicine. So ultimately looking to do published research and really understand where these treatments can be effective, where they're cost effective, more holistic, have benefits not just for the body, but for the mind and emotional self as well. So we've just begun very recently bringing patients down and are still in the development process for the flagship clinic in Peru.
Excellent. And of course, you didn't say what RUNA really stands for. What does it mean?
So that's a great question. One of my favorite ones, actually. So RUNA in the indigenous Quechua language means person, very simply, but the deeper essence of the word means fully alive. And for the indigenous people in the Amazon, this concept of being fully alive is about being humbly intimate with their fears and their weaknesses and using every obstacle as a teacher. So they have the sense of their identity is really wrapped up in this connection to the full nature of themselves. It's not this sort of high-minded intent to be perfect being. It's this humility and connection to a brave, courageous will to say yes to the challenges in life and to dig deeper to find great strength and connection. So that word RUNA and the essence of that spirit of being fully alive is a really beautiful sort of poetry in a way of how these people see themselves and how they see themselves in the world.
You know, it's really interesting. As I told you, I'm from the University of California at Berkeley. Still can't believe you went to Brown University and not to Berkeley, but someday I will forgive you. I'm just saying, okay. And before I went to medical school, and, you know, it was interesting. A couple things. I'm lighting up and resonating with this whole thing because in addition to being pre-med when I was there, there was a brand new department, which now is the number one in the country at Berkeley, but it was just beginning when I was there, and that was conservation of natural resources. So I was kind of doing the plant thing at the same time I was doing the human thing, you know, because I was doing the pre-med gig, and that was just beyond exciting to me. Go figure, flash forward a number of years, I end up at the National Institutes of Health as a senior scientist, just at the time, hold on to your, you know, chair here, that the Office of Alternative Medicine, for lack of a better term, was being launched. I seem to be, in good places at good times.
Yeah.
And at that time, I became the first senior scientist, research scientist in the Office of Alternative Medicine. And here, of course, I was really faced with an extraordinary breadth of information and data on plant biology and plant medicinals, which, you know, really at the end of the day, if you look at what's in our physician's desk reference, I mean, you know, so much of what we have today is as traditional, as it were, medicines, everything from aspirin on, really come from plants, willow bark, it goes on and on. But we don't really fully appreciate that. And the very simple, wonderful, extraordinary things that come out of things like the guayu sop. And so this really hits me in amazing places because I just love this. And the fact that you also tied it in with business, entrepreneurship, shamanism, right? And at the same time, really trying to give back, be of service through Plant Med. And of course, as a researcher, I love the fact that you're looking at these centers for practice and research. And, of course, you know, preservation of the Amazon. So kudos to you all the way around. I was so excited about getting a chance to, you know, have you on the show because I think everyone out there really needs to understand that there are terrific ways to be able to tie all this together with golden threads. Yeah. And you've interwoven this beautifully, Tyler, A-plus all the way around. And so now you're going to gift us with the four ways to be more awake at work. Hit it.
All right. Yeah, and just as an intro to that, you know, that's the connection between these different pieces, the entrepreneurship and the spiritual practices, was really my inspiration for writing Fully Alive as a book. You know, for me, that's beyond the encouragement of the story that I hope readers will get. I want readers to feel armed with the tools in the book and recognize that they have ability to transform obstacles in other people's lives as well. You know, I know the Amazon rainforest has all of these difficult, unexpected elements of life in spades. Everybody lives in some form of a jungle, and I want readers to feel inspired by following their own curiosities and following their own passions. So that was a big part of my interest in writing the book. And, you know, there's a couple of key tools that I can highlight as well that come from the book and I think are relevant for people in their everyday. So the first of this idea of how to be more fully alive, which is this essence that I communicated, the first point of that is ways to find strength and vulnerability. You know, it's this essence in the Amazon I found where through the challenges is the ways that they find their power. And I think in especially the world of business, we often think that vulnerability is some sort of a poison, if ever even recognized. So in the practical world, I found really powerful ways to do that. On the one side, constantly looking at what's not working and asking for support. So whether it's my personal life, my relationship and business, trying to proactively identify and be comfortable with the parts that of myself and the parts of my profession that are challenging and embracing what those have to offer in an honest and humble way. So first one, awesome. Finding strength in vulnerability. The second All one, right. which has gotten me through lots of very difficult experiences in my life, is practicing gratitude. You know, for me, giving and receiving gratitude is one of the most universally touching aspects of life. And from the Amazon, especially, there are some creative and powerful ways to bring that spirit into everyday things. You know, these traditions in the Amazon, I think sometimes are misconstrued as being sort of otherworldly, which in some ways they can be, but they're really very practical. And one way that I've incorporated that back into my daily life, and even in some of my team meetings, we've done this exercise that I call popcorn appreciation, just as one example of kind of weaving gratitude into the day-to-day. And basically what this is in team meetings, I start by having someone start and they share a personal high, something that's going well for them, a personal low, something that's not going well, and then they appreciate someone else publicly on the team for a special effort, just to bring forward that spirit of gratitude and recognition. And then that person chooses someone else to appreciate, and it goes around. So I think there's, as long as we're willing to be a bit vulnerable, bringing that spirit of gratitude into the everyday in creative ways is something I'm passionate about.
Excellent. And what's number three?
Number three is to challenge your routine. You know, I think one of the most fundamental things that changed about me in the Amazon was really coming to value the unusual and the unexpected. I found that in my life that when I'm doing new things or doing things in creative ways, that's when I feel the most engaged. I think so many people want to feel a little bit more meaning, a little bit more excited, a little bit more curious. And ultimately, that process is in your own hands. So even in my own life, finding little ways just to challenge the ruts I get into where I don't actually have to be conscious and engaged. So for me, I do things like brushing my teeth with my left hand. things just that are a little bit out of the ordinary so that I bring more of my awareness to the everyday.
I love it. I love it. That's excellent. What's number four?
Number four is to tap intuitive insight. So this is critical from the Amazonian point of view, which is that we're not just rational, logical beings. We have incredible intellects, and those need to be engaged and fully used, but to really refine and leverage our intuitive capabilities. So sometimes that's through dreaming, sometimes that's through journaling, sometimes that's through reflection, other things like the I Ching. But I'm a big proponent of people, especially in a professional context, of bringing forward the contributions of our intuition in addition to our logic.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I want everyone out there to know we have been talking to Tyler Gage. He is the author of Fully Alive, Using the Lessons of the Amazon to Live Your Mission in Business and Life. And at the very end of his book, which I have in my hot hands here, he says something very cool, which I just love. It says, I know for sure I didn't start out feeling some burning passion about plants or business. I've grown to love both. But the initial spark was a curiosity and desire to at least acknowledge deeper parts of life that seem ignored in the world around me. As you've seen, that questioning led to a very peculiar roundabout path to the Amazon and eventually to Runa. Not everyone has a passion, but almost all of us have a few things we're curious about. The real battle, then, is making sure you make the space to listen to and follow those threads wherever they may lead you. You know what I say, Tyler? Amen to you, honey. That is excellent. And I want to just say kudos to you in your marvelous work, which I'm going to talk to you about again in a second. And I just think that everyone out there needs to understand what you're all about. So please go to Tyler's website. That's Tyler, TylerGage, TylerGage.com. And also to Runa, R-U-N as in Nancy, A.org, to learn more about his marvelous work. Tyler, thank you so much for being on the Her Podcast. We just loved this episode.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure to chat with you, and especially with our aligned interests and passion. So thank you so much again.
And I will one day forgive you for not going to Berkeley.
One day.
Yes,
one
yes, day. Yes. Yes, one day. It'll be a while, though. Remember to catch every episode of Her. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or on our show page at RadioMD.com. And please rate and review this podcast, because I read these and I want to hear from you. I'm Dr. Pam Peek. Follow me on Twitter at PamPeekMD, and you can also check out our Her Show page at RadioMD.com for all of our past episodes. Thanks for listening, and stay well.